I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. This week on Africa Update, devastating floods in southern Africa put millions at risk, plus more cases of sexual violence in Kenya, and what is good governance? For more, we've got Cassandra Walden. She's chief of external communications at the United Nations Development Program. Hi, Cassandra.
Hi, Farai. Great to be with you.
Yes, always great to have you on. So let's talk about southern Africa. Torrential rains have caused heavy flooding in parts of Mozambique, Malawi, Zambia, and Zimbabwe. Some villages have been destroyed. Acres of crops have washed away. Can you tell us the latest on the situation?
Yes, absolutely. As you said, we saw really unusually early torrential rains in southern Africa. So these four countries, Mozambique, Malawi, Zambia, and Zimbabwe, have really been hit hard. Mozambique hit the hardest. You've got nearly 450,000 people who need immediate humanitarian assistance. Everything that you can imagine, from clean water to basic medical care.
I understand the UN has made a plea for help. What are you asking for, and what's the response been?
We launched a consolidated appeal on Friday. And what that means is that we need $89 million. It is the international relief aid community that has come together to determine that figure to help the hundreds of thousands of people in these flood-hit areas. This will also enable us to meet their food, shelter, water, medical, other basic needs, and prepare in case there are worse floods down the line. We're only halfway through the rainy season, so we really need to ensure that we can support the work that government and the international community have already been doing to meet the needs of these people going forward.
So the people who've been displaced, where are they going? Are they going to camps that have been set up? What kinds of situations are they headed towards?
Yes, they are in resettlement areas. For example, in Mozambique, you have 258,000 people, 90,000 of whom have been displaced over the past month or so. In Malawi, you already have 700 cholera cases that have been reported. You have about 152,000 people who have been affected. So they're moving away from their home areas into resettlement camps.
Let's move to Kenya in the east of Africa. The talks between President Kibaki and opposition leader Raila Odinga continue today outside of Nairobi, and the negotiations are being mediated by former UN Secretary General Kofi Annan. Since the post-election violence began in late December, more than 1,000 people have been killed and hundreds of thousands have been displaced. There are also reports of a wave of sexual violence against women who've been displaced by this turmoil. So, Cassandra, what's going on here?
Since the violence after the disputed elections on December 27th, we're seeing is that this situation has put women and girls at great risk of sexual assault. We know that always in situations of conflict, women and girls are in danger. And in Kenya, it is no different. We're hearing reports from Nairobi, from the Nairobi General Hospital, that there may be as many as double the number of cases of rape within the days following the eruption of the violence. And what we know is that for every case that is being treated or is being reported, there are many more victims who fail to seek help.
Is this a situation where women are being raped as a retaliation or as a part of the targeted violence, or is it a crime of opportunity?
You know, it's very difficult to know what the motivation is. We know that it's too early to tell at this stage, but what we can say is that, as you rightly pointed out, these are crimes of opportunity. It's simply because of the breakdown in law and order. You have a gang that finds a woman who may be looking for firewood, or a couple of young girls who are fetching water, and they take advantage of the situation. They know that there's a climate of impunity, and they are convinced that there'll be no consequences. So what we are doing is really calling on all parties, all governments, to ensure that there is consequence for these crimes, that rape is treated as a crime, that states must hold perpetrators accountable, and that there must be resources available for the victims to seek justice.
When you look at these issues from the perspective of your position at the United Nations Development Program, what kinds of solutions or protections or suggestions have you put out there?
Absolutely. Well, let me stick with the case of Kenya specifically. One of the things that we are looking to do is ensure that all recovery programs to help the country get back up on its feet would also look at women's vulnerability as a major priority and ensure that women are protected. We're suggesting that community patrols could help protect women as they go about the daily tasks of fetching water or gathering wood. And again, I will repeat that our feeling is really that rape must be treated as a crime. And we know that in Kenya, some of the larger hospitals are setting up satellite centers in badly affected areas so that they can provide a minimum of service to all injured people, but particularly those who suffered sexual attacks. And as I said earlier, the Nairobi Women's Hospital, in collaboration with the Psychological Association of Kenya, has opened counseling centers in some of the slum areas and some of the worst affected areas hit by the violence in the capital.
Some of the issues you've been talking about in Kenya really have to do with the role of the government and how well it functions. And the topic or the issue of good governance in Africa comes up again and again when it comes to everything from elections to how well governments function to their financial policies. So what's going on, some of the initiatives dealing with good governance now on the continent?
Absolutely. I'll start with the Democratic Republic of Congo. We today are launching a $390 million governance program with the government. And, you know, it's a real indication of the understanding that elections are not the be-all and end-all. They're an important step, but you must go much further and much deeper to ensure that government has the capacity to ensure the security of its people, that you give people access to government, that they have a voice, that government is accountable, that institutions in the country are able to manage their funds, their budgets effectively, ensuring that the media have a voice and that they have the space that they need, that non-governmental organizations have the space that they need, looking after the human rights issue and ensuring that people feel that they won't be persecuted if they speak up. And these are things that we find very important in a country like DRC and across Africa. You know, I was in DRC when they had their presidential elections in 2006, and in Liberia during their elections in 2005. And those are monumental occasions, monumental achievements. But there is so much more that needs to be done in a country that's coming out of conflict after multi-party elections.
What about the issue of how a government functions day to day, particularly who should have oversight? Because there's also the touchy issue of whether or not outsiders should really have a large role in inspecting the day-to-day operations of another nation.
From the United Nations perspective, we understand that this is a partnership with developing country government. So it is about national ownership, and it's about partnering with them, but helping build their capacity so that they can do a better job to meet the needs of their people. You know, we look at political governance to ensure that institutions like the parliaments, like the provincial assemblies can do their jobs more effectively. Administrative governance to ensure that different entities in government speak to each other, that we know how many people are on civil service roles, you know, how many people are working for government. So we make sure that there is no waste and that you're not paying people who may not be there, may be deceased, may not be doing the job effectively. So those are all the kinds of things that we work with government to do, to rationalize the kinds of services that they're offering and how best they should organize their institutions.
Well, Cassandra, thanks so much.
Thank you, Farai.
Cassandra Walden is Chief of External Communications at the United Nations Development Program. She was at our New York studios.